me to truly worship the Lord and to know He's with us and the sense of His presence. Thank you so much for leading us in that worship. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, the pearl of great price. Matthew chapter 13. The two verses, 45 and 46. Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. We read last week of the parable of the hidden treasure. We found that that is Israel going through the scriptures, not the church. But here we have the Lord's statement about the church and the tremendous value that the church and individual believers are to him. And as we know, as you can see there, that so frequently pearls are very beautiful. And Peter's been sharing with us this evening about the precious blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And we have a new nature that the Lord gives to us, new birth, the work of the Holy Spirit. And the whole purpose of the Lord is for him to make you and I beautiful in character. As that older chorus says, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That is his purpose. One day we shall be like him in quality of life and character. He's working on us now. But this is the parable about the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have this merchantman, of course, which is the Lord Jesus, obviously. And he sets out his whole purpose, seeking beautiful pearls. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, us, which we've heard so ably from Peter tonight. For he wants to make us a beautiful bride, fit for the bridegroom to be his bride. He's desiring to form that church, that body, that building, that bride of his. Just in the same way as the pearl is formed in the oyster. And I understand that what happens is a little bit of grit or sand gets into the oyster, irritates it, and it forms mucus around that piece of sand or grit, whatever it is, and builds and builds and builds it, and forms what we know as a pearl. And then I believe, and I'm told, that the oyster dies in preparing that beautiful pearl. And as the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for us, that we might have beauty of our new life and character. One day to be like him, and we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him as well. And we find here that the merchantman came to seek that which will become beautiful pearls. That was his whole purpose. He wanted to seek and look for those beautiful pearls in the parable, of course. But he no doubt was seeking, as in verse 46, the one pearl of great price. It was a great price that Jesus paid, as you've already heard this evening, the price of his shed blood, the sheer horror of being made sin for us who knew no sin. It wasn't just the physical suffering, that was terrible as it was, but the suffering of the wrath of God for our sin instead of us taking our place was so real. Plus the fact that he was separated from his Father for the first time in all eternity, so that we are saved. And he has given us like precious faith, as Peter tells us as well. He came to seek sinners afar off, Gentiles, and to bring Jewish people close to himself as well. Would you just go forward into Ephesians chapter 2 with me if you wish to? Ephesians chapter 2. And here's the evidence that Jesus is saving Jewish people and Gentile people. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. Verse 16 says that he planned to reconcile Jew and Gentile, both, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity between man and God. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles, had no knowledge of God, no awareness of him at all, sheer pagan, and to those who were near, the Jewish people who'd had the Old Testament revelation given to them. For through him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One day we shall be that completely beautified pearl. As a body, as a bride, and he's building his life into us. Remembering that this particular product of the pearl was the produce of a living creature who died. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he gave his life, a ransom for many. The church is formed as a fruit of Christ's suffering, his anguish and travail of soul. Isaiah 53 says that he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He came to seek and to save the lost. Yet, you see, this pearl hidden away, and you can see that the outer shell is ugly and misshapen and worthless, but the beauty is on the inside. And that is so with our own lives as well, so often, is that we find that the hidden treasure, no, not Israel, but the treasure is hidden in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians. And he's the treasure hidden in our lives. And yet we express him, we worship him, we witness for him, and we live for him. And his life is being formed in us, just as a pearl was formed there in the oyster. Yes, we know we must enter the kingdom into the Lord's presence. Indeed, as often is the case, through many tribulations with a small t, not the great one, through the trials and tests that we have, we go through until Christ be formed in you, said the Apostle Paul in Colossians, is it? Christ be formed in you. That was his great desire, his great pastoral desire. And how much more the Lord is that his life may be formed in you and I, that we should become the pearl of great price. We're bought with a price, not our own, the precious blood of Christ. But the pearl is formed slowly and gradually over a period of time. And so is the true church as well, formed gradually over this period of time, 2,000 years. But the pearl itself and the oyster, you can see, is on the very bed of the ocean, right down deep, hidden out of the way. It's unseen by the eye of man until they come to search for the pearl. And it's true for you and I as Christians, spiritually speaking, your life is hid with Christ in God. That's our security. The pearl is formed in the sea, on the very bottom, where all the muck and the mire and the dirt is. In Isaiah 57:20, you needn't turn to it, it says this: the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. In God's holy eyes, that's where we once were, but we're being transformed into his likeness. But as you can see, the pearl is the very bottom of the sea. And the word sea in the Bible, it means Gentiles. Even the Antichrist comes out of the sea, comes out from among the Gentiles. And we come out of the sea of Gentiles mainly, plus some Jewish people, of course. And we come out from the muck and the mire of the world to be transformed into his likeness. The pearl of great price, taking time to be formed, his life will become formed in us, and we will become formed to his image one day, fully. We're on the way, we're growing. And as the pearl grows in the oyster, so we are growing in Christ. Wonderful parallels, aren't there, that's for sure. One day we shall be transformed. Would you go to, once again, if you're in Ephesians, go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. You see, this beautiful pearl was produced because of suffering. And our life in Christ, and the beauty that one day will be formed in us completely, we're changed from glory to glory into his glorious presence one day. All that is taking its time in us until we're in his likeness. And Ephesians 5, verse 27, Ephesians 5 and verse 27, this is his purpose. Look at the end, look at verse 26 as well as 27, might as well take it both. His whole purpose, verse 25 says he gave himself for the church, 26, that he might sanctify, set it apart, make holy, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, and of course the blood too. It's amazing how much when you read the scriptures, it has a cleansing effect upon our lives. It's the word of God that touches us. It may be correcting, it may be encouraging, it may be all sorts of things, but it is nevertheless refreshing, challenging, encouraging, showing the Lord's grace and love for us, so that he might present it, church, verse 27, to himself, a glorious church, a beautiful church, the pearl of great price, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And if you look at the very best of pearls, they are very beautiful, cherished by many, really beautiful. They're born out of suffering. Amazing, isn't it? What an example that is. One day the true church will be splendidly displayed to the world as we come back with him. Revelation 19 says that we should be dressed in beautiful fine white linen, which is the righteousnesses of the saint. You and I, we come back with him. And the beauty of Jesus will have indeed be formed in us. This is his work, gently, progressively. One day we should be entirely holy, without blemish. Not here, we're on the way, and we fight a good fight. But one day, when we come back with him, we should be his bride, splendidly arrayed. Whereas that oyster was at the very base, in the darkness, in the base of the sea, on the mud, on the dirt, unknown, unrecognized, not thought about, but the merchantman came to seek. He came to seek in the mud and the muck of this world, in the darkness where we once were. He saw the pearl. There are many pearls. This particular one was a pearl of great price, the true church. Don't read too much into the parable. It has one main meaning, as all parables do. The pearl of great price, bought with a price, one day to be beautiful in his sight. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Let's go back to it, shall we, as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. This section of the chapter is about glorifying God in our body. Verse 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, please. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, from the Father and the Son? And you are not your own, you're bought with a price, nor the pearl that the merchant came to seek. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Live out the life that Christ put in. Yes, this is the church, the pearl of great price, bought at such a cost. Even when the pearl fishers dive deep down, they risk their lives looking for the pearls. They have to open up many oysters to see there was one oyster that contained the pearl. And in a true sense of covetousness, the Lord covets you and me, in the right sense of the word, through love, through sacrifice, through the giving of himself to buy us back, that one day Christ will be formed in you like the beautiful pearl, the pearl of great price, the great of great price, the one that he was seeking for as a merchantman in the parable. That's you and me. When we're complete, the beauty of Jesus will surely be seen in us. Far, far more beautiful, even than the beautiful pearl is indeed beautiful. You and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, beautiful in character, in graciousness, and in speech, and in living, will be like him, because he has named us. Close a few thoughts about that, and about Peter's message, about the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish. One day we should be without blemish. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Maybe one or two people would like to pray, and I'll close afterwards. Thank you.
Lord, it's very hard for some of us, including me, to believe that we are beautiful in your sight, or can be made beautiful. Silk purse out of sow's ear, as it were. But dear God, we know that you see, can't see. Man looks on the outward, but you look on the heart. And you know our hearts, Lord. You know we seek after you, or we wouldn't be here tonight. But I want to say thank you again, Lord, for the work you're doing in my life and our lives to change us, to change our characters, to make us more like Jesus, whom we love and want to follow. We want to be your disciples. We want to be, as it were, your followers. We don't just want to follow at a distance, but we want to walk with you, like Peter, James, and John, and Jude, and all the others, Nathaniel. They walked with you, they got to know you, Philip, and they loved you, and they gave their lives for you ultimately. They were all martyred except John. But Father, we pray you'll help us, help me. As the world gets darker and our country is definitely very dark, yes, we ask you to help us to shine in the darkness, Lord, and to realise that there is light coming out of our lives. As many have said, the only Bible that most people will read is us.
Yes.
We are your living letters, known and read of all men. Yes. People read us, Lord. So please help us. Help me, Lord. This is mostly my prayer. Help me. When people look, they don't see, they see something else. They see Jesus. Even if it's only a little bit. I want it to grow. It's dollars shared with us. Change me, Lord, more and more to be like you. And I've some years maybe to go yet, Lord, but whatever you've decided, I pray that you'll help me make a progression toward character more like yours. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, because it's in your interest to get me better, or rather more like you, much as it's in my interest, because you don't want half-finished work, unfinished job, and you do say you're complete what you've started in us. And also, Lord, that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, So please, Lord, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Thank you.
Yours, thank you, Lord. Think about so that whoever, we don't even know how else to say it, Lord. There aren't words in an earthly language that could have all eternity to try and for your goodness to us at all.
Amen. Amen. Our hearts go out to you, Lord Jesus, with gratitude.
Yes.
For your sacrifice, your suffering, and your salvation. And the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you one day you will complete your work in us. Mm. And we shall be like you. We shall be transformed and changed from glory to glory. Mm. And we rejoice in what you're working in our lives now, having first saved us, brought us to yourself. And one day, Lord, we shall be living with you forever, never separated. We rejoice, Lord Jesus, for you're making us your bride. Beautiful, which you love so much. You will lavish your love upon us. And we want to give our praise and thanks to him. Thank you for your word through Peter tonight, precious Lamb of God. Shed your blood as a ransom price for many. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you came to seek and to save that which was lost, that's us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you called us, designated us as the pearl of great price. Now, Lord, we give you thanks for the little supper we're gathering in the kitchen, our fellowship together. All that's been prepared for us. Thank you for this home, for Kathy, this home.
Yes.
We commit once again James and Claire to you, Lord, and look forward to them coming back to join us again. Bless us during the meantime, Lord. Keep us, look after us. Help us to walk and rejoice in you, conscious of your presence day by day, because you ask it that Jesus might be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Can you switch it off for me, please? Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Robert wanted this cake tonight.